Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Last time on Scorched Sheep, we're in the middle of a heist. Traveller and I, cannily disguised as Mr. Underhill and Captain Doofus Redwick, have been invited to a dinner party at the Governor's mansion in Nasriri. And Traveller has been probing the guests for information regarding the location for a symbol we need to complete our map, whilst I entertain the guests with my stories of glory on the battlefield and the bedroom. The arranged entertainment has turned out to be another trouble as a comedian. Capri and Stigveld went off to the casino to see what information they could find there. They have discovered there is more to the main event than they thought. I'm still not sure what is going on.
Meanwhile, we discover there's more to the main event than we thought. As we as we hit the casino, I recognise a friendly face from the past, and Stigveld enters himself into a battle royale.
Adventure waits on every roll, fighting for our mortal souls, through mountains high and dungeons deep, through dragon stream of skull sheep.
Welcome everyone to Dragon's Dream of Scorched Sheep. As usual, I'm your DM for the evening, and I'm Gadget. And joining us this time, the Battle Royale himself, as Stigveld at his Stig.
Hello.
The Royale with Cheese himself, as Calbo, it's Biggie.
Captain Calbo.
The next member of the Royal Family himself, as Treble O'Clef, it's Oodles.
Hello.
And the Royal Mess of a Woman, as Capri Smitty, it's Candy.
Hello.
So yes, as was wonderfully recounted from the previous episode, the party have got themselves into two different kinds of fun. One is a party, one is a killing spree. So, I think it's a kind of a much ado without nothing kind of situation here. We just get straight into it. I am going to point out, however, I did make one mistake last week. The voice of the comedian Treble O'Clef, I got wrong. I forgot the voice that I was going to do, and I defaulted to my normal Cockney.
Double busy, actually. Can't hang about.
Nah. That wasn't bears. All that kind of thing. So the voice I'm going to be going into with this one is a little bit different. So apologies for anyone who might be confused at that. Like Oodles, who is confused in general.
Say it's a comedian, and that's what they do. They put on wacky voices.
Wacky Come voices.
Yeah.
I'm still confused with this comedian thing.
you're supposed to be.
Oh, it's all right then.
So, yeah, we are going to start off at the Governor's Ball. As we left it, you had all walked into the kind of the parlor where there's like a little kind of like raised up stage set up. And the maitre d' or the kind of the head kind of butler had introduced Mr. Treble O'Clef. And you see this man walk out. He's wearing a kind of red tunic and red breeches. He's an older gentleman. He's human. He probably maybe in his kind of mid to late 40s. He's got a bit of a paunch, a bit of a beer belly. His kind of hair is kind of grey and thinning, but kind of slicked back with it. It's either hair gel or sweat. You can't really tell, but there's a sheen to his face. He's got kind of big jowls. And he walks up onto the stage. He's going, "How you doing? How you doing? I got to tell you, you're a lovely crowd. Hell of a crowd." And there's kind of a small smattering of applause around the room. Treble, before he starts his set, do you have any immediate thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's thinking to himself, he wouldn't dare wear red.
I like this guy already.
I mean, I physically don't own red clothes.
he carries on with his line, and he launches into his set. So he's like, so you're a hell of a crowd, two hells of a crowd. Say, I'd go as far as say, you're nine hells of a crowd. Boy, I tell you, it's hot in here. Hot as the nine hells. And he's kind of drying sweat from his forehead with a handkerchief. Boy, it's hot. So hot I had to stuff an ice method down my pants before I walked on stage. I tell you what, so hot in here I saw a devil backstage begging a wizard for a cast a cone of cold on him. I tell you, so hot I saw a red dragon begging a white dragon for a blowjob. Talk about a cold shower. And there are kind of gentle titters. And more kind of like generic laughs, you know, just like kind of thing from the audience. But undeterred, quote unquote, Treble carries on. He says, "But I gotta tell you, the worst part is I get no respect. No respect. Why, I was just at the bar and asked for the hardest thing they got. The bartender clocked me upside the head with a warhammer. No respect, I tell you. I was at the bar and I ordered a shot of fireball. One deck save later, I'm barely clinging to life. I tell you, my wife don't give me no respect. The bartender asked what she wanted to drink. I told her she should try something she's never had before, so she ordered a stiff one. No respect. My wife said she wanted to become a cleric but couldn't decide on a domain. We looked over her options. Life, light, arcana, death. And then she took one look at a wedding ring and said, our vows were death to us part, right? No respect."
I just imagine the only person that's proper howling at this is Calbo.
I want to be the fly on the wall for when Gadget typed in Google, D&D jokes.
I didn't think
there were any.
I actually got some help from some very lovely people on Reddit, so I thank them very much. The laughs start to get a little bit higher, but not nothing. But it's basically because he's getting into a rhythm with it and people kind of are enjoying it. He carries on with, "No respect. I turned her, I learned a new spell called Create Bonfire. She said, oh boy, I hope it has a casting range of self. I told her I learned a new spell called Darkness. She said, well, that will really spice things up in the bedroom. I told her I learned a new spell called Enlarge Reduce. She was excited. I could make my soldier bigger. I told her I was excited. I could make the barracks smaller. But I feel really bad for that one in general. But I tell you, I never had respect. I once went to a brothel and the manager told me everyone had a headache. When I was born, the midwife apologized to my mother. I tell you, no respect. My carriage got held up by highwaymen outside of Movis. They took one look at me and slipped me 5 gold pieces, said I needed it more than them." And this goes on for kind of like another kind of half an hour or so. It's kind of these constant, just kind of little one-liners and puns and weird things. Like the maitre d' Treble, you can see in the corner, he's kind of like rolling his eyes at every other joke.
I'm really concerned, like, out of character, like, how does he know he's in a Dungeons & Dragons world?
I'm... The
jokes, it's meta, that.
It's meta. Yeah, it's meta as fuck. I'm just kind of...
He knows about the dice rolls from the gods.
Yeah. It's MetaQuest.
Banned. They're jokes for the audience more than anything.
Ah, right. Do you think someone's listening going, because I didn't get any of them.
Well, that's why I slipped the ones in about the brothel and that at the end. I thought they would be nice ones for you there, Oodles. So yeah, he carries on for about a half an hour, and kind of as he reaches the crescendo of his set, and he's drenched in sweat and dripping with sweat, and he gets like one kind of big applause after his big joke, and he goes, "You've been a great audience, you really have. If you get any more excited, a funeral's going to break out. I kid, but we should all thank Fenton Westerfolk for the shindig. The man's got more scratch than a leper colony, and he's so generous with it all."
I like that one. That's good.
We come to
I was part of this guy's gang.
we've come to the end of my time with you all here. I'll be hanging around out around my dressing room later for if anyone wants to buy me a drink or you know I put my scratch onto some parchments. But for now, thank you. You've been a great audience. Good night. And he kind of does a bow, and he kind of trots off stage. And again, there's just a little kind of golf clap going on.
I wonder if he sells chainmail t-shirts.
It's unreal, man. You're unreal.
The woman you were talking to earlier, Trevor, kind of, she sidles up to you, Juliana, and she says, "Well, that was torture."
It really was.
Fenton usually has some kind of like chamber group or collection of bards on. I don't know why I went for a comedian this time. I had half a mind to smite him where he stood.
I didn't realise it was a comedian. I thought it was some kind of artistic play or something along those lines.
Well, suffice to say, when I get on my travels, I'm going to be warning people about Trevor O'Clef. People should not go and see him.
I think you should. Be wise.
Yes.
It's very dangerous.
The crowd have kind of started turning back towards you, Calbo, and people are asking you for more stories.
And then in the middle of the battle, that's when I tossed off a bear. There's Grizzly, all right.
Honestly, you can't take him anywhere.
It's a good job I'm not around. It's a good job Stigveld's not around right now.
Trevor, you hear someone from the kind of collected audience goes, "Oh my God, he fought a bear. He must be so brave. Let's get the man a drink." And you see someone kind of wander off to the booth. They kind of come back with a very large kind of like magnum of champagne.
Oh dear.
You hear a, and then they hand a glass to you. Goes, "Go on, Captain, have a drink. You're not at sea right now."
Sir,
Guess it won't hurt anybody.
Sir,
I'll swing it back.
Give me a dexterity saving roll, please.
Yeah, because guess what's happening.
Hear like a helicopter, like blade just starting up.
12. So everyone's, "Oh my, what is that flapping sound you hear? Come from?" And just through straight down the chimney, out of the fireplace, it comes down, clocks you right in the nose.
You take
2 points of bludgeoning damage.
I did try to warn you.
I'm just trying to blend in.
Sorry, blend in, sir. What do you mean by that?
Oh, you fucking idiot! Honest to God,
to the joyous event.
Okay, but why did this bent stick hit you in the face?
I have no idea. I thought it was an hors d'oeuvre.
How many people are in this room?
Better just telling the truth and saying I'm sober and this keeps me in check. Like, you're almost better off doing that than trying to lie.
there's about 30 people in the room. There's the NPCs that you've talked to previously, and then just a kind of assorted hangers-on.
Unfortunately, Biggie, I can't charm that many people. I'm not powerful enough to stop a room from your blunders. So, what I do is I toss a rock or some little trinket, a little pebble out of my thing, bang it at Calbo's head if I can do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that happens.
He turns around and looks at me, and I just wave and I walk out.
That's weird.
I don't think he's in any danger. I just walk out because I know I've got to meet that girl, haven't I?
Yeah, you got to meet that girl. Do you want to try and question the person who's stolen your name?
I was hoping you would have said on my way out I would have seen him.
Well, so if you look at the map on Roll 20, he has kind of descended from the stage. And he has moved kind of towards this door and then kind of through it. So like this room here to the north of where you are is his dressing room.
Okay, then. Rather than going out, I still throw a stone at his head because he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I'll go into that room and get a ping. I'll go into that room and talk to the interloper.
Okay. So you walk into this room and you see quote unquote Treble sat at a table that did not reveal. That was reveal areas. There we go. So he sat by a table. There's a couple of kind of tables there which would be like used for like getting dress makeup. There's a bed. There's kind of a floor chest. And he turns around and see. He goes, "Wait, look at the short stack. Welcome."
Hello there.
Greetings. And he kind of walks up and he kind of like shakes your hand. He like puts both of his hands around your hand to shake your hand. "Oh, it's always nice to meet a fan. What do I call you, boy?"
"Mr. Underhill."
"Well, Mr. Underhill, I hope you enjoy my set."
"No, that's the problem, I didn't."
And he takes a point of psychic damage for that one.
"Oh, you wound me." That's really tickled me the way you
"Oh, you wound me, sir, wound me. Do you have any feedback?"
"You don't know what wounding is. I've literally had to listen to that for the last half hour. I feel like I could electrocute my own brain to forget that. However, you're in luck."
"Oh?"
"I have a way of making your set even better."
And how's that?"
"Killing you."
And he just smiles at you and then he kind of stands up a little bit straighter and his voice kind of changes. He goes, "I wouldn't recommend that."
"See, that's a funny joke. I got your attention, didn't I?"
And he kind of steps forward to you. And can you roll me a strength saving throw, please?
Yep. 16.
16. So he rolled a 17 on his strength check. So he just grabs at you.
"No, I did."
And he kind of picks you up and goes, "Hi, Treble."
"Hello there.
I have a message for you."
"Fire away."
"From my employer."
"Who is?"
He reaches inside of his tunic and he pulls out a letter. It's folded up. It's got a red wax seal on with this. The wax seal has a skull. And he kind of using his fingers just kind of like pulls open like the top of your tunic, and just kind of slides it in. And says, "Read it later."
"If I get the time." I'm trying not to be intimidated by him. Do you know what I mean? He's putting on a...
"Yeah. You want to read it."
"Okay. Maybe I will."
"Your friend out there. The Scaly."
"Mm-hmm. Yes."
"You realize he's in great danger, don't you?"
"Ever since he was born."
"No, I mean from people at the party."
"Elaborate."
"I assume you met Don and Esther Harley, the, shall we say, human supremacists." "You did meet them. You wanted to kill them."
"Okay. Yeah.
They were the one very, very anti non-human."
"Yes."
"Yes, well, Don has a switchblade, and he's not afraid to use it. Count that as a token of goodwill to show that I'm not against you. I just had to deliver a message. And
you need to stop using my name."
"This is the first time I've used your name. We just needed to get your attention." And he puts you down gently. And he goes, "I'll see you later."
"No, you won't."
"I'll see you later."
"No, you won't."
And he ushers you out of the room and closes the door behind you.
"I could have killed him. I just know you wouldn't have let me."
I would have let you try, but you couldn't have killed him."
You could.
So as you kind of come back into the room, kind of Don and Esther. Don and Esther Harley.
What's he called? Don. And
Don. Esther. No, Don Harley and Esther Harley. They're a couple.
Don and Hester. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So you see Don and Hester are talking to Calbo, and you can see that Don is, well, Hester is more specifically talking to Calbo. Don is kind of stood there, and his jaw is like clenched. And Esther's saying to you, Calbo, so where are you from?
Ooh, everywhere. I've been to many places. The tales I could tell you.
I mean, where are you really from?
Oh, I've traveled many places. I don't like to talk too much about my history so much like that. I just like to talk about the interesting tales. Did I ever tell you about this big battle we had and everything was on fire except me because I'm 100% fireproof? Yeah.
No, yes, but it's more important, you see, like, what we're trying to achieve, and this is Don talking to you now, what we're trying to achieve with Azrairi is purity, shall we say. And, you know, just a pure world is a harmonious world. You know, if we can prototype it with Azrairi, then we can widen it out to the rest of the world. Don't you agree that purity is a thing? Yeah, you can try and interrupt, yeah.
So, you go back to the beginning again?
Shut up. I'm trying to save your life. Because I got the tip from the fucking that guy.
Yeah.
I can see what's happening now. You can smell a racist a mile off.
Absolutely.
I want to use my cantrip, Minor Illusion.
Yeah.
To distract him.
Okay, what's the illusion that you cast?
Is there a fireplace there?
Yes, there is, behind the stage.
So, if you create a sound, it's sound, isn't it? Ends of dismay, a little. If you create a sound, a volume. If you're creating an image, right. So, a creature. Yeah, creature. So, can I create a small fire demon coming out of the thing? It's an illusion, obviously. It's not real.
Yeah,
I want to scare them.
Okay.
I want to scare them. I don't know the name of a fire demon.
No, just you can have like a little kind of, a little fire looking creature,
because they don't like things. I want them all to look away. If I can do that,
okay,
successful.
So
it's a cantrip.
You kind of with your hand in your pocket, you just kind of wiggle your fingers in the direction of the fireplace, and there's kind of a whoosh, and the fireplace, and everyone turns. Ooh, what was that? And then this little imagine a flame with kind of arms and legs and eyes.
Yeah.
He kind of jumps onto the little stages.
Yeah, he's dancing and stuff.
Yeah, and he kind of jumps around like this kind of fake fires kind of bouncing around like sticking to things. And the people start to kind of, oh my God. And Don looks at him and goes, what devilry is this?
I need to do something then while he's doing that.
Yeah?
I need to do something. And I'm hoping this will work on Biggie.
Okay.
Biggie. And I'm going to do, because it's going to take too long to explain it to you. I want to charm person you, but
right.
It's a wisdom saving throw of 15, and I'm hoping you're not very wise.
Okay, it's kind of not
you
how
get what
charm
I'm trying
works,
to do.
But yeah, I know what you're trying to do, so we'll allow this. Biggie, roll the wisdom saving throw.
I hope you don't.
It's 10.
10?
Good.
Yeah, you didn't
so
say
I just unless. I just do that, whisper in his ear, follow me quickly.
I'm surprised.
Follow me quickly, boom. And we just run out while the little fire gremlins are working, if that's allowed.
I wouldn't see the big fiery thing.
You're charmed, dickhead.
You're
a zombie.
Yeah, you're not a zombie, but you just get the notion, goes, ooh, I should go. That's the kind of notion that comes into your head.
Yeah, it's a very, it's just, you know how long it'd take me to ask him to actually follow me. It'd take hours.
Yeah.
So we get out of there. We get out of the way we came.
So you both wind it out here. There is a guard. There is a guard outside who just goes, leaving so early, sirs.
We are, yes.
You got stories to tell.
Are you not?
You're still charmed. Be quiet.
Are you not staying for the orgy?
No, unfortunately, we have a different orgy planned later on our boat. So we bid you adieu. Goodbye. Thank you.
Well,
come on, sir.
If you change your mind,
and
he points to the building kind of across you. You change your mind, that is the Orgenarium.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And we're away. We're out. We got out.
Okay, yes. You got out.
We got out. No thanks to fucking Biggie.
I was enjoying that.
I think we actually successfully did a little mini heist there, mate, together.
You did. So you're back.
So I've got a date in the morning, haven't I?
Yeah. You also have this letter that the comedian gave you. You're kind of out in the main streets now. The town is quiet. There's a couple of kind of like drunken posh people kind of wandering back and forth, but you actually get the feeling that it is actually reasonably safe here. Like, this isn't like any other big town where you get jumped from the shadows or something like that. Everyone is of such a standing here, they don't really need to be thieves.
Yeah.
So we
decide to just go back to the boat, and then I'm going to read that thing.
Okay. So there's
no complaints from Calbo, because he's still kind of under a little daze of mind.
Yeah.
So he's just like, no hijinks on the way. Just straight to the boat.
But the orgy.
Shut up.
When the two of you get back to the boat, Calbo, you get a feeling in your chest of kind of happiness, like the boat is happy for you to be back.
Yeah. Get back, cupcake.
Right, Calbo, we need to wait for the other two, see if they were successful. Remember what I told you. I'm still angry at Stigveld and Capri, so I will pretend that I still don't know them. This is our secret. I want to see how long you can hold this secret for.
I love that we know that they don't know.
Yes, shut up. Yes.
Yeah, from behind you, Yorupan goes, what don't they know?
Fuck.
You don't know.
Terrible, you seem in a better mood than before. Did you get to use your gun thing?
Not yet, no. Okay, the jig is up. I remember everything. Spider-Man, Oripan. I'm just really angry at those two for just... I was in prison for 10 years.
Well, did you ask to leave?
Yes. No, I didn't, did I?
Everything the Fae does is some form of a trick, you know. There's always a way out of these things. Let me guess. Let me guess. Whichever way they had you imprisoned, you told them to let you out, right?
Yes.
Did you ever... You'd never ask nicely, can I leave?
It's always a trick, or there's always something.
Because it's the fucking Fae. Everything is a trick. Oh, my boy.
I'm still angry at those. They haven't asked me how I am. They've just assumed that 10 years hasn't happened for me. So it's a prank. Do you like pranks, Arapan?
I like pranks, but you should possibly consider getting the sand out of your underpants.
Eventually I will. Give it a day or two.
Now Arapan knows, and he knows what I know that we know that they don't know. I love
Do you know, this. During Arapan, during my... incarceration. Did he take an extra knock to the head?
Yes, several of them.
You can tell. Can you do me a favour as well? Because I don't trust this note I was given.
Mm-hmm.
Will you open it and read it to me?
Absolutely. And he takes off you, he gives it a sniff, he looks at the...
I thought he'd just know he'd sense something if there's anything in it.
He looks at the wax seal and goes, ooh, skull, interesting. And he kind of runs one of his fingers in, breaks the seal and opens it. And there's just two lines of text in it. And it says, he reads out to you, it says, I've been watching you all for a while. Now is the time to meet. Our interests are aligned. Meet me in Remembrance Park tomorrow at sundown. And it's just signed F.
There's Cowboy just looking everywhere.
I've got two dates tomorrow now.
It would appear.
And that we will meet this F, but we'll meet them together. I don't want to do this alone.
Wise.
I would possibly suggest some clandestine meeting that you don't go alone.
Yes, absolutely. I need to rest. I've got a busy day tomorrow.
Oh, speaking of rest, Oripan looks over to you, Calbo. I may have found something you want.
Ooh.
Ooh, what's that?
And he reaches into his little kind of, like the pouch that sits where his hip should be, which normally has a kind of his various alchemical and magical things in there. And he pulls out a single sprig of smoking weed.
Yes.
It's not much, but I think you might be able to do the duplication-y thing with it. You could farm yourself this, but I've been getting better at the pickpocketing thing.
Excellent. I'll pop it in now. And he puts in his little pouch.
Yeah, which won't do anything because you've used it already today, but yes.
Yeah, they'll kick off if they see smoke, won't they? It's a smoke-free zone.
I haven't smoked yet, if you notice.
Yeah,
You've drank.
Who has the time displacer?
Do I have it?
I think Capri took it.
Yes, she did, yeah. I got my little hidden gun.
And Stig got his clockwork axe.
Yeah, that's fine.
Can you just remind the audience what the time displacer does?
The audience.
the audience or the
asking
or the candy?
For a friend.
The audience.
The time displacer reverses time 6 seconds.
Yes.
So basically, if you use it in combat, you can undo a turn of everything that happened. But it breaks when you do it.
I'm glad you could remind them of that.
Yeah.
So let's just make loads of duplicates first.
You do know the people that listen to this know what everything is ever.
I'm just being
to us, it's months. To them, it's just weeks or whatever that they have to listen to these podcasts. I don't know how time works.
Well, time is a flat circle.
It's super flat.
Right, now that you're,
like
you're
back
on... Yeah.
Apparently. Whoa!
Now that you're back on the ship, is there anything else that you want to do, or shall we switch over to the other team?
I want a long rest because I've used some of my spells, so...
Right, okay. Well, you're not necessarily getting that yet, but I'll take it under advisement.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So we're going to do the old GTA 5, kind of zoom right out and then move over to another bit of the city and zoom right in. We're back in the Ludon Tower. As Stigveld is squaring himself up for a Barney. So the crowd is braying. The MC is kind of shouting, "Give it up for your next competitor, Stigveld!" And you get a Stigveld, Stigveld from the assorted rich
people.
And the announcer goes, "Right, as usual, the rules are 5 fights. Random creatures will come up from that lift. You must defeat 5 of them. You win it all. You win 10,000 gold pieces and a free pass to the next floor."
Did we give them his real name? I thought we used aliases.
Oh, did we?
Oh, do you remember your aliases?
My name was given away by somebody straight away. Not you.
But can Candy remember what the name is that she gave at the door?
Miss Angela Hoopinkoff.
I don't think it was that.
It wasn't that.
Huffenberg, was it?
Nope.
Have you got it written down, Stig?
I haven't, because it was something ridiculous.
That's why you stick with the same one since season one.
Our aliases, which we were meant to use when we got off the ship, my name was just given away straight away by Cowboy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we'll assume at this point in the kind of in the rush to feel important, you've just gone, "My name's Stigveld, I'm going to fight," kind of thing.
Terrible.
So you're getting a Stigveld from the audience.
Darling, you know I can never watch you fight, and I just kind of blend into the background a little bit. And I want to try, before it all kicks off, if it's okay, I'd like to just try something.
Okay, what do you want to try?
Can I call one of the waitresses over, please?
Yeah, sure. Do you want to call over Aeloth, or do you want to call over just any waitress?
Any waitress but Aeloth.
Okay, so a short, slightly dumpy woman, again with a kind of plain white mask, kind of comes over and goes, "Yes, can I get you a drink?"
"Oh, my darling, I've heard an ever such a terrible kerfuffle come from the public conveniences." And I'm just going to cast Minor Illusion to make a little booming sound come from the bog.
Oh, yes, I heard that.
"Yes, follow me, I'll show you what happened." So,
okay.
Go to the loo. And then I would like to use...
So she kind of leads you... there is a door to the... I'm going to forget the reveal map icon thing. Reveal areas, which kind of leads you. We'll assume that there is some kind of public convenience kind of behind this wooden wall here.
Yep.
And she leads you through. What's happening now?
Can I use Charm Person on her, please?
You don't really need to use Charm Person on her because she's not hostile to you. Are you trying to like influence her to do something?
Yeah, I wanted to stay here for like 3 hours.
What?
I want her to stay in the loos, out the way for about 3 hours. In one of the cubicles.
Right, okay. To what end?
You'll find out. You'll see.
Ah, she's got you.
Okay, well, the rule lawyers are going to hear me, but going to hate me, but fine. I want to see how this pans out. It's a wisdom save, isn't it?
Yep, 14.
2. She does not save. So you give her... Technically, this should be the suggestion spell, but I'll allow it at this point.
I feel like I know what she's planning, but I don't want to like say it in case I am right.
Probably so right.
She looks at you and goes, "Yes, I can stay here."
Yes, just tend to that toilet. There's obviously something terrible going on there. And then I would like to use disguise self to disguise myself as her.
Okay, so you... cast the disguise. You're in a black robe. The cat is underneath your hood now, kind of like clinging into the back of your skull. You've got a white, plain white face mask on. You look like a waitress.
My dear, let me take that tray from you whilst you sort this out.
Oh yes, that would be great. Table 42 need to be seen to.
Excellent, excellent. I'll take that over to table 42 because I'm not a monster. Then, if it's possible, I'd like to go to the sort of kitchen area where they get the drinks dished out.
Stig's gagging to fight here.
He'll get right. Because Stig can be the distraction. This is just a plan B.
Right, okay, so you You carry on up and you find basically the service stairs. Now, I can't give you a map for this because I haven't created this map yet. So you walk down the stairs and you come into a kind of a largish area. There is kind of an open kitchen where food is being made. There are kind of casks of wine, like hundreds of bottles of the most expensive liquors that you've ever seen, like stuff that you've not even heard of. And a couple of kind of studious bartenders who are making cocktails or making up kind of large vats of custom alcohol for certain clients. And there is also
a dumb waiter
that like leads up to all of the floors.
Right then, boys, we've had orders straight from the top floor. I've got a massive order coming from you. I'd like 4 margaroonies, 2 bloody Mavises, and a sex on the fairy forest. And I need to take them up. So quick, they're important folk up there.
The rather surly kind of head bartender comes around and goes, "Can't you see we've got ticket orders out of the arse?" And he kind of pointed a load of tickets on the counter.
Allow me, I'll grab him by the scruff. Allow me to remind you, what kind of people frequent the top floor? We need to keep these people happy, and we need to do it quickly.
Oh, it's top floor, isn't it?
Top floor. Chop, chop.
He kind of pushes some of the tickets to the side, and he starts to make up these drinks. And it takes him about kind of 15 minutes, but you then have a big tray of drinks in front of you.
I'll just be taking these in. Whoa. And
give me a sleight of hand check to see how steady you are with it. No, acrobatics.
Hang on, that was a sleight of hand. I just rolled by accident.
Yeah.
Acrobatics. 12.
It's a bit wobbly. You spill a couple of them, but it's not too bad.
So I have to very, very slowly make my way up the stairs now so Stig can get on with his fight.
Okay, so Stig, the MC kind of walks out of the cage and looks at behind him, and he looks at you and goes, "Good luck, boy." As he kind of rings a bell, and then the trapdoor at the bottom of the cage opens, and the lift comes up, and you are facing off against where are my tokens?
A mind flayer.
I'm not going to give him a fucking mind flayer in a fight like this. What the fuck is wrong with you?
A 3-headed dragon.
God.
You see Tentacles. This chittering insectoid-like creature that comes up in front of you. And why has that token not dropped there? This thing is called a Miloch. It's only kind of about 4 foot tall, but it's got these kind of huge mandibles, lots of kind of fangs, 2 giant claws coming off it. It's got yellow skin, hairy. It's got a couple of vestigial arms coming off its chest as well as its main arms, and it kind of stands there.
It's Bonnie then.
Oh yeah. It's got a face only a mother would love.
Mm-hmm.
So let's roll initiative. See who goes first. You or him.
11.
It's you, because he got a natural 1.
Hey! Well. So
in fact, you know what? To set the mood here, because I think I happen to have the music in Roll 20. No, not that. Manage audio. Yeah, let's...
Let's conversation. Oh, yeah. Casino heist.
No, just our battle music. Right, what are you going to do?
Dragon Quest 11.
It's very similar, isn't it?
It is a bit of Dragon Quest here.
So, first action, I'm going to go into rage. It's always best to just go straight into rage.
Yep.
The stick valve just goes into rage, almost like Kratos style, and the crowd are impressed. Like they look when they look at him, it looks like his muscles are physically popping to their eyes. It just blows their mind.
Oh, nice!
So,
more erotic for my liking. I love it.
Stickball just looks over a couple of the ladies, gives his pecs a little dance, Terry Crews style.
Don't worry, I'm straight. I'm built different.
I'm such an alpha.
Pure alpha.
The two of the ladies kind of and swoon and kind of fall to the ground. Their husbands are kind of thing going on.
Right, so bonus action is enter rage, isn't it? That's my action, isn't it? Go into rage.
No, so it's a rage is a bonus action, so you can still use your action to then do your normal two attacks.
Presumably I've just like thrown out my fountain pen axe here.
You kind of pull out the pen, kind of swing it around your fingers, click the button, and shling, and it just kind of comes out this great axe. And you get a the MC is like, "Whoa, I wasn't expecting that."
A little trick up my sleeve of that,
and throws a natural one.
So that's a natural one for your first attack, was it?
Yep.
Okay, so you kind of spin out the axe and you hold it up, and your finger accidentally grazes the collapse button, and it just kind of collapses back into a pen.
Oh, shit! Right, so it's not working. And he just starts like whacking it against his other hand,
and it then kind of opens back out, and it kind of clocks you in the face. It doesn't do any damage to you, but it hurts your pride, shall we say?
Oh, I wish your cowboy this.
Wish I had my normal axe. Stupid thing.
And get another action, don't I?
Yeah, you get another attack action.
Another attack. That one is a... Where's my thing on the side? There we go. 21.
Ooh, 21 to hit. Yeah, that hits. Give me your damage with that.
So you've got 18 plus 2, it's 20.
20.
Yeah.
So you just kind of walk up there, and you just like kind of slash at him, and you actually take off the creature's left arm just straight away.
Aha!
And he kind of
maybe this thing isn't so bad after all.
So it's now is that the end of your turn?
Yeah.
Okay, it is right, it is going to attack with its one remaining claw. So that's plus 4 to hit. Uh, 11 doesn't hit.
No, it does not.
So it kind of swipes at you, and it kind of snarls at you, tries to intimidate you, but it just doesn't get anywhere.
I just give another little fleck of the pecs.
Yeah. It's your turn. So now you're within kind of 10 feet of this mean lock. It does have a fear aura, so can you do a wisdom saving throw for me?
7.
7. You are suddenly very frightened of it.
Oh.
Yes. So you have a disadvantage on attack rolls while it's in your line of sight. You don't necessarily need to run away from it or anything like that, but you have disadvantage on all your attack rolls until the next turn.
God, you stink. I was just going to stand back from you. Just a bit. It's come over me. It's weird.
So I have to roll twice?
Roll twice and take the lowest. Has everybody forgotten how to play D&D in the last month?
I just got natural 20.
Okay, so, well, roll again.
That's all right. I got 18 plus 9.
Yeah, 27. That's the work. So roll for damage. 14.
16, so plus 2 on every one of them.
Okay, so you despite kind of recoiling from the smell of it, you just kind of bring the axe down, you just chop its heads clean off. And the crowd go, "Yeah!" And
he's like,
"One fight down. Well done.
Bring me more.
Oh, more's coming. Stand back," he says, as you feel the kind of the trapdoor that you stood on start to kind of move a little bit. As the next opponent is brought up to you. You are next going to fight The next thing that you have to fight is another kind of reasonably ugly looking kind of insecty creature. This one, however, is a bit bigger. It comes up. It is purple with kind of vestigial scales and hairs across it. It walks on six very pointed speared legs. This is called a Kluthik. It's a medium monstrosity. And it kind of gets up and it opens its mouth. It's got these kind of huge mandibles and this kind of long snaking tail comes ahead and at you.
Just killed your cousin.
This is larger than what you just killed. Initiative roll. That one's a 9.
Oh, fuck, 4.
4. Okay, so the Kruthik is going first. So the it is going to just close the distance in on you. And it is going to do its multi-attacks. It's going to try and hit you twice with its spiked weapons. So it's basically the spiked end of its feet.
Yeah.
So plus 5 to hit. So first one is a 15. That doesn't hit.
Nope.
Second one is a 13. That doesn't hit. So it kind of it closes the distance and you just kind of dodge side to side as these kind of two legs try and stab you. Your turn now.
Right. So, boom. That is a 19.
Yeah, that hits.
So that is a 14 on the damage.
Okay.
And my next roll is a 12.
That doesn't hit. No. But you're in rage now, so I think, do you get an extra attack with rage? Or a bonus action attack?
No, that's in frenzy.
Sorry, that's when you're in frenzy.
Yeah. Rage just gives me extra melee damage and like certain resistances to like attacks.
Yeah, that's it, sorry. Okay, right, cool. Are you going to take any movement or are you staying where you are?
Nah, stay where I am.
I'm
scared.
Fair enough. It is going to try and this time instead of stabbing spiking, it's going to try and stab you this time.
Plus, like, I literally have nothing other than the axe, so wherever I go, I'm going to have to square up to it anyway.
Yeah. 21.
Yeah, it hits.
It hits 1d6 plus 3. 4. It hits you for 4. So as you're kind of like reeling from like missing, it just brings its claw up and just stabs you in the shoulder. It's not a deep wound or anything like that, but you hear the crowd go,
"Oh, you've left a mark there. Like a pinch."
it's your turn. It's just by itself. It's not going to move. It's just going to, it's determined to attack you.
Is a 19.
Yeah, that hits.
And a 20 on the damage.
20 on the damage. Okay, so you chop one of its front legs off, and it kind of howls in pain. This kind of purpley blood is kind of pouring out onto the floor. It's still up, but it's very wounded.
Ah, God, you stink worse than the last one.
That's a 25 on, so that definitely hits.
Yeah, that hits.
And a 11 on the damage.
Okay, how do you kill this one? Give me an impressive bloody kill.
So Stigveld picks up the leg that he's just chopped off.
Yeah.
Because it's big and spiked. And he just grabs like the jaw of it, rips that down and just shoves the spiked leg right through its mouth into its brain.
God, someone's been playing Doom Eternal. That might become relevant later, in fact. Brilliant! Okay, we'll take a pause on Stigveld's fighting for now to check in with Capri. Capri, what are you doing right now?
So I'm just kind of keeping that ear out on the level that he's on and trying to kind of keep up. So
you've basically heard, yay, and Stigveld, and some like wet slapping, squelching, cutting noises?
Yeah, so I assume that that means that he's... So what my goal is to kind of arrive at the top floor the same time as he does, so neither of us go in alone.
Right, okay.
So yeah, I'm just on the first floor, kind of keeping an eye out, just looking busy.
Okay. So are you going to try and kind of blag your way upstairs to the next floor?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so...
Is this not a concealed staircase? Because am I going to have to blag my way up? Or can I just say that I'm going to the top floor?
Well, here's the thing. You are in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
You need to act like you belong, I assume. So if you've made your way back up to kind of this area where the fighting is going on, what's stopping you from trying to get up to the next floor?
I'll just go up to the next floor then. I'll go up to the top. I just wanted to kind of keep an ear out on just how far he's getting, just so we kind of arrive there at the same time.
Right, okay. So he isn't ascending floors as he's fighting things.
Okay.
But you walk up, and because of your disguise, no one kind of really bothers you until you reach the top floor. You come to a door that would lead into, like, above the fourth floor of the casino. So this is where, like, the offices are and the private areas. And you get there are two guards there. They are wearing kind of gold faceless masks with kind of golden armor and holding spears. And they, as you walk up, you hear one of them goes, "Halt! Who are these drinks for?"
"They're for our guests on the top floor. This is a special gift from the contender who is playing at the moment. He's wants to say that he thought he'd get the drinks in before he comes to meet everyone."
All right, can you roll me a deception check, please?
9.
Mm-hmm. The guard looks down to you and goes, "There are no guests in the VIP rooms at the minute."
"But there is going to be, though. That's what I've been told. Listen, this is what I've been told from the bottom. You know, the line manager told me to send these up. I'm just doing my job here." He said, "Get everything ready for when our guests arrive. And look, I just don't want to get bollocked again. You know, I mean, I've been in trouble at work a little bit. Just let me do my job, please. Come on, guys. Okay. We played Uno the other day. I remember. I know your wife."
Give me a persuasion roll on this one. It's a little bit of a kind of DC, because that's a good attempt.
That's a 9 again.
9. You still don't get it.
Can I tell you what? How about I give you one of these drinks each? No one's going to know.
Yeah, the guard is... he's going to do a roll. Yeah, his insight isn't good enough either. So he goes, "All right, partial to a Bloody Mary."
"Yeah, they are good as well. I saw them make them extra spicy. What about you? What about your friend? I don't know you, dear. Are you new?"
Yeah, and he goes, he just doesn't say anything. He goes, "Oh, that's Terry's his tongue cut out."
"Oh, nobody told me we had such a handsome boy starting. What's it for you? How about Margaroni?"
And he kind of like waves his hand, because again he can't talk. He picks up the Margaroni.
"Yeah, and, get that down, yeah."
And the guard you were talking to, like, he opens the door, and says, "Right, just make it quick.
Thanks,
don't want the boss to catch you in there without any customers."
"The boss is expecting me."
"I hope so." And he opens the door and lets you in.
Just give him a wink. Another wink.
Yeah. And you walk in, and what you can see is the private room, which is kind of like just like a lot of kind of large, kind of very opulent gold stitch sofas, a huge mahogany table. A private bar in the back. The dumbwaiter will lift up here as well. And then you see the two kind of gilded glass doors that lead to the masked croupier's office.
Ooh, rich mahogany. Can I get into the office?
Roll an investigation check to see if you can get through the door.
Matthew's brother.
24.
You can see it. It is locked, but it's a lock that you can pick.
Excellent.
With your thieves' tools.
I will pick that with my thieves' tools.
Okay, so dispose of one.
I'm going to pick it so that it's open, but I'm going to leave it closed.
Okay, so you uh, You use up one of your lock picks. You hear the click of the lock, and it is unlocked.
Perfect. And I'm just going to go and hang around behind the bar, I think, and look busy.
Right. Okay. Back down to Stigveld.
Stigveld.
Yes. Lots of people shouting Stigveld. The MC goes, "That's two fights down. Can he face the third?"
Easy.
As the hatch opens and your next opponent comes up, which is, now what did I set for you? You see a creature that you have actually faced before, Huan Ti, which is a snake man. This would be something you would have remembered fighting back on Hydorn.
Ah, seen one of these before, killed many of them. You'll be the next.
And
see you. I see you, Goliaths. Why can I never escape you?
So a Wanti is they are shape changers, but they're basically humanoids with kind of snakes' heads.
How do you spell it?
Yuan-Ti.
Sorry, I'm just looking it up as you say, because I want to have a look at what they are.
Yeah,
that's cheating.
Yeah.
No, I'm just wanting to know what I'm fighting. Stigveld can see, so why shouldn't I?
So this is a Yuan Ti Malison. How you pronounce it? Yeah, Yuan Ti.
Yeah, I've got one here.
Yeah, so he's carrying kind of like a curved sword. He's kind of rather muscular. He is about the same size as you. In fact, he's quite an imposing creature. So, initiative rule, please.
11.
9. Okay, you get to go first.
Oh, I'm just going to kill you like I've killed the rest. 24.
Yeah, that hits.
10 damage.
Okay. And so you just slide straight in with your axe, and you kind of catch him across the chest. And you go,
"You can do better than that, I'm sure."
I can. So I rolled a 27.
Nice.
And I hit you with a 17.
Oh, yes. Beautiful pain.
A bit weird.
He's one of them sex people.
You were getting off on this.
No, I just enjoy combat.
He is then going to. He kind of puts his hands together and he starts to glow, and like his neck extends and his body goes long and basically shape changes into a snake.
Oh, you are getting off on this.
And he goes to constrict you. So this is a d20 plus 5. 7. So that doesn't hit. His tail kind of whips around to try and get you, but you manage to dodge out the way of it.
Yeah.
And he kind of rears up like a cobra, and the kind of side of his neck comes out and goes,
"Come on, try to hit me."
As he goes, he kind of like drags himself closer to you.
Your fancy presentation doesn't impress me.
And he hits him with a 20. That hits.
Yeah, that hits.
And it's a 16 to hit.
16 damage.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so you kind of slice across him. You kind of blood's kind of spurting out from his scales, but he's just and he kind of bares his fangs at you.
Okay. And that's a 10.
10 doesn't hit.
No.
Pathetic.
I mean, you're the one who's leading here, not me.
So he is.
Everyone's chanting my name, not yours.
He is going to try and bite you this time. 18.
Yeah, it hits.
It hits, so it is 1d4 plus 3. So it's 5 piercing damage plus 4. 10, plus 10 poison damage.
I have resistance to piercing damage.
Yeah, so you'll take half the piercing damage.
So it's five. So only two.
Only three. Two. Yeah, you'll take two. But you'll take 10 poison damage.
Okay, so I just take 10 points off, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So as he kind of like lurches forward and just sinks his fangs into your midsection.
Ah, taste those rock hard poisons.
Is he poisoned for the fight, or is it just for that?
No, just for that bite. It's just the damage.
Right, so combat that. I'm going to swing a 28.
Yeah, that hits.
And the damage is 17.
Okay. So he's the kind of blood's kind of pouring from his eyes and from his mouth as he's kind of just trying to keep biting onto you. As if you're just kind of like trying to cut him in half.
Yeah, and then a 15.
Yeah, that hits.
Yeah. With a 14 damage.
14 damage. Your axe just cuts straight through him, and he just kind of hits the ground. His eyes kind of go white, and the two parts of his body kind of shift back into the one T form. But now cut in half.
Okay, so he's dead.
He's very dead.
Yeah. Okay, great. So then Stigfeld just he's getting a bit excited here now. There's a bit of bloodlust going on. He's getting the people chanting his name. He's just killed three beasts. He picks up like this tail, just starts swinging it around his head, and obviously like, blood's just splattering everywhere, hitting people in the crowd.
Well, this is the furthest we've had someone get before, but is he ready for round four?
Of course I am. Bring it on.
Round four is the trick round. I hope you're ready.
Oh, I don't like tricks.
As the hatch opens and you see a pair of wargs appear with little goblin riders on the back.
Ah.
So you technically have four enemies to fight here.
Fuck's sake, man. could have done with someone who has magic kind of like standing by the fence right now.
I could just investigate this room by myself if you want.
So the two warg riders kind of come up and we all know what wargs are. They're giant fucking wolf dog things with small little hobgoblin riders on the back. I'm not going to count the hobgoblins themselves as like kind of directly enemies, but you can aim for them if you want. Initiative, please. Got a 16 and a 5.
19.
19, you go first.
Right.
So these two wargs over there, and they're kind of like their kind of claws are padding into the ground. Yeah.
Okay. Fourteen.
I don't think they have a particularly high AC. No, 14 hits. Which one are you hitting?
So just this one here. Well, listeners won't know, but yeah, just one of them.
Okay.
And that's going to be damage. 11.
Okay. Right, okay, and you're going for a next attack?
Yeah, that's a 17, so that hits.
Yep.
And that damage is 16.
16. Okay. Yeah. So I underestimated the strength of wargs because you just cut this thing straight in half.
Oh.
I thought they had more HP than this.
I thought this was the trick round.
So did I.
What about the goblin? Is he gone with it?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's because it's
literally squint straight through the goblin and straight through the warg.
Yeah.
Come on, bring it.
Shouting at the goblin on the other one.
He shouts as he kind of charges his warg right at you. The warg is going to try and bite you. So that is 17.
Yeah.
So that is 2d6 plus 3. 6 plus 2. So that's 11 damage it does to you. It kind of like just sinks in, just kind of bites where the snake had bitten you.
Okay.
Decent attack. I'm still going.
And I hit with a 28, so that hits.
Yeah, that fucking hits.
Your first roll is 17 damage.
Yeah,
so
that hits.
By my counts, I only need like I don't know what, 8 or something, and 15.
Yeah, that hits.
And damage is 8.
Again, you just cleave its head straight off.
Aha! Are you not entertained?
Just turns around. She's covered in blood. Just blood, guts. There's just dead bodies, dead monsters everywhere.
Stegveld, Stegveld, Stegveld.
That's just right. Bring me the last one.
Oh, it's time for your final fight.
So the lift is kind of shaking as it's coming up. It's carrying something heavy. As the doors part, and you can see something you didn't quite expect, because what you get is an ogre, but not any kind of ogre. This is a zombified ogre. So he is tall, he is huge, he has a huge kind of distended belly, but there's kind of guts hanging out of it. He is carrying a ball on a chain and a large cleaver with him. And he looks over you.
Finally a real test.
Good luck trying to kill this one, he's already dead! And the crowd starts to kind of laugh behind you.
His head will roll like the rest of them.
Okay, so what are you going to do? Actually, no, we need to do initiative first. 17 he gets.
18.
18, you go first.
Roll the 13. We're not going to hit.
That doesn't hit.
And a 22.
22 hits, yeah.
Right, okay. So that's a 18 on the attack.
18 on the attack. Cool. So you just kind of you go in with your axe and it kind of cleaves easily through the flesh, but it doesn't feel it. It's dead.
Okay.
Are you taking any movement or any other actions?
I don't think I could go into frenzy until my next go. So
no, next go.
Just stick around. Can't go anywhere really.
So it lumbers forward towards you. And it is going to... Now, I have slightly homebrewed this one just to make it a little bit of a challenge for you.
It is
going to multi-attack with both weapons. It's as if its kind of arms are just kind of flailing around.
Right, okay.
So with the kind of the ball and the chain...
Monster.
That is a 16 to hit.
Yeah.
Right... 10 damage. And then with its blade, that is 15 to hit.
No.
Okay. So you take 5 damage then, because you're in rage. You take half damage.
All right. What was it? What type of action was it like?
It was, it would have been bludgeoning.
All right, okay. Good, because I just took 10 off. Didn't think about that. So I'm going to hit frenzy.
Yeah.
And
just for the listening audience and for ourselves, when he hits frenzy, we have to change the music.
Oh, yeah.
To this.
Here we go. Like, it's even bigger now. Like, the crowd are so impressed. Like, the muscles look like they're popping and bursting even more than before. Yeah. Like, now there's just, like, veins and shit just everywhere. Like,
brilliant.
Right. Except I can't use my frenzy on this go. says I can do my attack at the next one. 24, that's going to hit, yeah?
Yeah, that hits.
And that's a 11 damage.
Okay.
And 28, so I'll hit.
Yeah, that hits.
And a 10 damage.
Okay. So you just, as you kind of go into your frenzy, you kind of, your muscles are kind of bulging and you're just swinging wildly with the axe.
Yes.
The undead ogre's as it kind of goes to slam the ball and chain on you. A plus 5, 13, that misses. All right, so he's going to come in with the big blade.
So what are we on now then?
3. I'm just counting it as a new rage each time. You're fine. Don't worry.
All right. Okay. No, I just someone will call me out on it if I just keep.
I mean, right, you're in frenzy now, so it's all new.
Yeah.
So
no one. You miss everything.
Yeah, you miss both his attacks. The ball and chain kind of crashes down into the floor next to you and kind of cracks the tiles. The sword, he kind of tries to swipe you laterally, and you just duck out of the way.
Just like a, you know, like Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Like heads bobbing and weaving. It's not touching this. Right, to make this easier, I'm just going to do all three and see what hits and then add it together.
Yep.
Right, so first one is a 19.
Hits.
Next one is a 12.
Hits.
Okay. And the next one is a 27, so I get 3 of that.
Yeah, all 3 hit.
So you've got 15 plus 13 plus 16.
So you're just tearing into him, kind of bits of his body are kind of flying all over the place. You're taking huge chunks out of his kind of guts. Is kind of like it's amazing that this thing still kind of stood upright, but it is. The crowd are going fucking wild watching you tear into the first time they've seen a fifth rounder in a long time.
Yeah, I'm just like rah, 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 rah,
yeah.
Rah,
rah. So he's going to take his 2 attacks.
He's full on Kratos in rage mode now.
Yeah. 7 plus 6, that doesn't hit. 13 and a 14, neither of them hit. So kind of as you're kind of tearing into him, he's just kind of flailing wildly, trying to catch you and trying to hit you. I'm rolling really shit today.
I know, that's great. I've enjoyed it. Can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. Ha ha ha. Right, and then my hits are going to be 24 hits. 20 hits.
Yep.
22 hits.
Yeah, all 3 hit.
So 17.
Yeah.
Plus 11.
Yeah.
Plus 18.
Okay, so as you do those, the some
fucking good rolls tonight.
what was your last roll? Last amount of damage, sorry.
So
18 was it?
So it's the total is 46.
No, but the last damage roll.
Oh, 18, yeah.
18. Right. So the undead. So basically, you've got them down to 0 HP. Undead ogres have a thing called undead fortitude. If damage reduces the zombie to 0 hit points, it must make a con saving throw with a DC of 5 plus the damage taken. So basically, I've got to get a con roll of 18, 23.
Good luck.
Basically, I have to get a natural 20. Which I don't get. So the undead ogre just kind of like stops as you kind of like digging in and chopping in and chopping in and chopping in. And then you hear just like 2 thuds as the weapons drop. And it just slumps onto its knees and goes to fall forwards. You kind of step out of the way as it just hits the ground with a wet slap. and the crowd absolutely fucking loses its shit.
Yes! It's just like raising my axe above the head.
the gate is thrown open, and the MC kind of walks in, grabs your hand. Stigveld, our champion!
Yes! Yes!
You immediately kind of after he kind of crowns you as the champion, two kind of attendants come in with towels. They start to kind of like help clean you down as another one comes in with a wooden chest and opens it up, and there's 10,000 gold pieces in it.
Yes.
And then one last one comes up to you and hands you a silver key. And the MC says to you, says, this key lets you to the next floor. Well done, Stigveld. You've earned it.
Five more rounds next.
Oh, I need... Oh, my blood is pumping. That was enjoyable. It's been a long time since I fought combat like that. Where is my woman?
No.
His cock ring is showing a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there is a hard-on going on here. While Stigveld is celebrating, Capri, we'll just skip back up to you briefly. So you're just kind of like making yourself look busy behind the bar.
Yeah, to no one, but in case they walk in.
Right.
And there might be security cameras.
Cameras.
The doors open, and you see a man walk in. He's wearing kind of purple and black garments. He has a white mask on as well, but this one actually has facial features on it, unlike the others, which are all just kind of flat. And he has a couple of attendants behind him, and he pays no attention to you as he kind of comes in, kind of sits down on one of the sofas. One of the attendants comes up to him and says, "We have a winner for a change in combat." The man sitting on the sofa goes, "Really? Since when? We've never had a winner. Who's stupid enough to go into that and survive five rounds?" As well, we have a winner. He's done it. The crowd on the ground floor are going insane. He's received his key to come upstairs. Maybe we should invite him all the way up here. I want to see what kind of man this is.
And I just sort of nod in the background to one of those.
And he then says to his sense, "Keep an eye on him. See how he gambles. If he seems to be doing well, then maybe I shall extend an invitation to him."
Sir, shall I go and lubricate him with some drinks, perhaps?
No,
gesture from upstairs. It might be a nice gesture, sir.
I've just given him 10,000 gold. That's a nice enough gesture, don't you think?
Yes, but you know these kind of people are very powerful. You know, you want if somebody like that, you want to keep him on your side. He could be handy around here.
I don't need more security, but I want to observe him. I want to see what he's made of. And, you know, if it turns out he's not made of anything, I'm sure we can find a way to kill him. So, you know, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely. I quite agree. Shall I go down?
Doubt.
No. You stay up here. I feel in need of a drink.
Ah, yes. A bloody margaroni, perhaps?
Just wine. And he goes up and walks towards his office. And he goes to put the key in the lock. And he kind of pushes the door and it opens. And he goes, "I locked this." He turns around because someone has been sneaking around. Have you seen anybody?
I've been up here for about an hour. And nothing. I didn't know it was unlocked. So I didn't try it. I've been busy.
He gets a natural 20 on his insight roll. So can you give me a deception roll and try and beat that, please?
Oh, Lord. 16.
And he looks at roll as well.
He looks to his attendants and goes, "Caesar." And they start walking towards you, and that's where we'll end episode 38 of the Dragon Stream Scored Sheep. Well done, everyone. Capri's talked herself into a bad place.
That's not like me.
No, not like you at all. So yes, thank you all for listening, everyone. For patrons, if you check your patron inbox tomorrow, you will get that track that we used during Stig's Frenzy, which is a one I've written for this called Great Axe Division, because I'm not ripping off Doom at all. But you're going to get that as a Patreon bonus.
It's good. I like it.
You liked it, did you? Nice and heavy. But for everyone else, make sure you check out the website, modernescapism.co.uk. There's all kind of fun stuff on there. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/modernescapism, £5 plus VAT a month. And you get early access, ad-free. You get character sheets, you get maps, you get art when one of us can be bothered. That's not a dig at you, Candy. I do art as well. When either of us can be bothered.
You've done you, mate.
I know.
No. Candy's a busy lady. So, So, aside from that, so you'll get our character sheets. You now get you'll get the music and all that good stuff. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. So, keep yourself busy in the meantime. You can follow us on Twitter at @ScoreCheap, and you can also give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Only 5 stars, though. If you give us anything less than 5 stars, we'll send Calibur around to give you a good talking to.
I have many stories.
Yeah, you don't want that. You can't get rid of them. But aside from that, thank you, everyone. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for playing. And we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.